Let's take our Bibles and open them to Psalms 119. Les has a favorite saying, at least he did have. Have I got your attention, Les? I said you have a favorite saying when you're in trouble. Yeah. Everybody says dial 911. Les says dial 119. And that's what I want you to do. Turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. As I look at the Psalms, I find something rather interesting. There's a lot in the Psalms that people don't really get a handle on, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're looking at the Psalms as something just as poetry, and it is. But it's poetry with a purpose. Just like a good hymn is poetry with a purpose. And Psalms 119 lays out what I classify as the roadmap of life. And we're not going to cover every verse in Psalms 119. We're only going to cover a few verses. But I notice in Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Last night I ran back and forth across the street until about quarter after two in the morning this morning. And running back and forth, getting Dave this and getting Dave that I had that he didn't have, and so on and so forth. And I got one of these little meters on my watch. It told me I walked a whole lot of miles this week. But the thing that was interesting is the moon was really bright out, so I could see where I was going. And spiritually speaking, the Word of God helps us see the path of God that He wants us to follow. And I think I got to turn this on too, if somebody's telling me that. Okay. So I want you to keep this in mind. What we're going to be looking at, briefly, I think whenever pastors say briefly, it doesn't mean anything. But anyway, just keep that in mind. But he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And with that, let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would guide us and direct us in your word and give us understanding and application that we might bring glory and honor to you and live a life that is pleasing in your sight, as well as being a testimony to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Its purpose, as far as this roadmap of life is, the purpose is found in Psalms 119, verses 9 and 10. 119 verses 9 and 10. And this is something that we need to keep in mind. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways," or cleanse his way? "By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." The first part of it, verse 9, the purpose, first part of the purpose, is moral purity. The Word of God describes to us moral purity. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Stop and think about it for a moment. You're on the internet much? There's a lot there that can pollute your mind. It's not hard to find something without even looking for it that can trip you up. Watch television? There's a lot there that can trip you up and catch you out even thinking about it. There's lots of things that we see that can grab our attention and mess with our mind, so that our mind is moved from the things that we should be thinking about to the things that are
are base and low. So what do we need to do? Take heed. Pay attention. That's the idea. Pay attention. Allow the Word of God to cleanse your way. And by the way, does anybody know what 1 John 1:9 says? That's right. Moral purity. So it's not a matter of just trying to be pure and close your eyes and plug your ears. The idea is dealing with a sin as it exposed to you from the Word of God. The second thing we see in verse 10, its purpose, is the right path. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Following the right path from the Word of God. You know, it's interesting. In Matthew, Jesus says about the way, narrow and broad. We're supposed to take the narrow way. If somebody calls you narrow-minded, thank them. And if they call you broad-minded, then you've got a problem. Hopefully they don't mean what they're saying, or they don't understand what they're saying. But the narrow way is focused on the door. In John chapter 10, what is the door? Jesus. And having the right path, the right way, what does Jesus say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The right path is focused on the narrow gate, as wide as one person, which happens to be Jesus Christ. And if you're focused on Him through the Word of God, that's another reason for reading the Word of God, because you need to learn about the very Christ that you follow. So there's moral purity, and there's the right path. That's the purpose. Now, it's proposition. Verses 9 through 16. It says, okay, let's start with verse 11 here. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. Have I rejoiced in the way, or I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. It's a proposition. The first one. Going back to verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed. What does it mean to heed something? It means to observe. In other words, the idea is pay attention. You ever had your father or mother say, heed my words? Well, of course, that's old, back way back when, but I used to hear it. And when they said heed, well, I say, you want to heed. Because if you didn't heed, you'd get something you need. And it usually ended up being something you didn't want to receive. So anyway, you heed it. You observe it. In other words, you apply to one's life and conduct. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25 says this. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. By trusting Christ as your Savior, you didn't just fall out of a tree. You just didn't happen to stumble across it. You heard and you respond. You heeded the word of God. The word of God has to come in order for you to be saved and also to lead you through life. And that's what Peter is talking about here. The second thing is in verse 10, and it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee, let me not wander from thy commandments. The thing that I'm going to focus on now in verse 10 is with my whole heart. You've heard of people being half-hearted about things? Well, there are a lot of Christians that are half-hearted about Christianity, but if you challenge them, oh, I'm saved, I know Jesus is my Savior, then why aren't you living like it? With my whole heart. Put your heart into it. In Matthew chapter 6, we look at the anxiety aspect of Matthew about being anxious for nothing. But it's interesting what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? Or the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness and what will happen? All these things shall be added unto you. You see, with my whole heart, I need to seek the right person in the right place at the right time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things that you need in life will be there. Sometimes we worry about this or that. We become distracted. The devil's really good at getting us distracted over things. I don't know. I'm old enough to tell you a lot of stories. The longer you live, the more stories you have. The more you see God working, the more you see the devil working, and the more you see where you screwed up. Keep it in mind. You know, I wrote this a while ago and rewrote it again the other day. Here I am, I'm traveling to do an inspection. A large plant. I pull up to the plant. It was kind of an overcast day. I pull up to the plant and there's a bunch of people walking around with signs. And there's a plant manager standing right in the driveway. He looked at me and said, I rolled my window down. He come over and says, you of all people, you're the last person I need. Something like that. You know, I mean, he was very adamant about my that I was just adding to his problems. He was angry. And he let me know he was angry. Can't you find something else to do? I said, all right, I see your situation. I understand it. I will come back some other time. So I did. I went home. I mean, I found another place to inspect and so on, some other places. And then I went home. I did not want to go back there. I did not want to face that confrontation with that angry man. But I had to. So I waited and procrastinated and finally had to make up my mind, I gotta go see him. So I get in my car. Beautiful day. The sun is shining. Going along the river on my right and the mountains on my left and beautiful blue water and the ducks and stuff on the water and stuff and birds and then the mountains on my other side of me and I'm going an hour and a half ride out. But all I'm thinking about is that angry man I have to face. I pull in, I grab my stuff out of the car, and I'm walking into the office, and a very cheerful voice says, hello, good morning, Mr. Brody. And really cheerful, well, good morning, Mr. Brody. and it was the secretary. And she says, the manager would love to see you. So, all right. So she buzzed him and let him know I was there, and he comes charging out of that room with his hand out like this, says, boy, am I glad to see you. I want to thank you for what you did for me. He says, I really appreciate you. He says, if you find anything wrong, let me know. He says, it'll be corrected immediately. I'm going like, is this the same guy I met in the parking lot? Did he get struck by lightning or something? And he says, hey, I've got somebody for quality control, that this quality control manager, new one, and you're going to love him. You're going to really like him. You're going to get along well with him. So in comes the quality control manager. And so we proceed out in the plant. Now, I don't know how, but he already knew that I was a Christian, that I was a believer. And it wasn't very long before he let me know that he was one too. And we talked about the things of the Lord as we're going through the plant. And it was really cool. But I had this horrific tension headache that I developed in my trip there, worrying about all the stuff that was going to take place. And I'm driving home with this horrible headache, and I'm trying to figure out, what happened? What happened? Instead of seeking the things of God with my heart, I was looking to that which would bring anxiety and frustration. I was focusing on the wrong thing. I learned a lesson. Don't do that again. You may miss something wonderful. Because believe me, that was incredible. If I didn't have this headache, I would have been shouting, hallelujah! Well, should have done it anyway. But and then the other thing is, in verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart. The word hide. To hid it. The idea of hiding it here is in order to protect. That's the idea here. I hide it in my heart in order to protect. Where do I hide it? In my heart. In Matthew 6:31, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the idea, what do you do with treasure? Do you leave it out? No. You want that treasure put in a special place. This treasure needs to be put in your heart so that you're focusing on that and not a lot of other things. And why do I put it there as an order to protect? Well, let's see what he says. That I might not sin against thee. You know, when counseling people, one of the things you do, this is biblical counseling, by the way, is you give them Bible verses that deal with the things they're having trouble with. Ladies, you know what my favorite Bible verse is for wives that are having trouble with their husbands? 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. 1-6. What's it say? It gives a not a very nice commandment in one sense of the word, because a lot of women, when they look at it, they get upset. What, men? We go back to Ephesians 5. Uh-oh. Love your wives. Love them. Then there's also a passage in Colossians. It says you not to be bitter against them. So it's a two-way street. If you hide the Word of God in your heart, memorize it, or at least understand it. Maybe you don't have the address down, but you have the definition correct. That'll pop up in your head. And that might stop you from doing some pretty stupid stuff. But our problem is, we didn't hide it in our heart. So we have no protection. I ran into a man many, many years ago who was sick, lost his foot, then he lost his toe first, then he lost his feet, and up to his knee, I guess it is, and he had to push himself around in not a wheelchair, but a chair with wheels on it, like an office chair. And his wife said to me, he's always in pain, but he's always mumbling stuff. I almost think he's quoting scripture. So I asked him. He says, yeah. He said, when I was a young man, I had to learn, a young boy, he said, I had to learn all this scripture. My parents made me learn it. But he said, I learned it up here, but it never got to here until you showed up. And I was angry with you until you showed me that you cared about me. And then I realized how much I had ruined my life by not paying attention to what my parents taught me in the Word of God. And he says, now all these verses have come back to me in my old age. And he said, they bring me peace and comfort as I quote them over and over again. Then in verse 12, he says this, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. The idea of learning. Teach me, instruct me. This morning we talked about 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Spiritually speaking, if you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, you're not going to grow. You're not going to be protected from moral behavior, and you're not going to be taking the right path. If you're not trying to learn the things of God's Word, you're in trouble. You're in dire straits. And then, of course, what are you going to do with it, what you learn? Verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. What good is it to learn something and keep it to yourself? He says, declare it. Make known, tell. Acts 1:8 tells us that we have the authority by the Holy Spirit and the power to tell. To give the gospel, to declare the truth. If you don't know it, you can't declare it. If it's not in your heart and mind, it'll never come out. Think about it. It's like taking a salt shaker. I mean, how many of you ever grabbed the salt shaker to shake the salt out and there's nothing in it? What good is the salt shaker if it doesn't have salt in it? Or, the other aspect is you put salt in the salt shaker, and it draws so much humidity, it canks up and it won't come out either. And sometimes, we as believers, we may take a lot of stuff in, but we can't get it out because we allow everything else to cake up and block what we know. Sin has a way of doing that. And then verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, you watch the various people, they brag about how much they have, how much money they have, how important their job is. But how excited are you about the Word of God? Does that take precedence over wealth, prosperity? What does it take? Where's your focus? You know, one of the things I like to do is I don't have to preach. I do and I don't. You know, if you understand what I mean, I do and I don't. I do, but I don't. I don't have to preach. But it's awful hard to keep it inside of me. Woe is me. That's Paul said that. I think it was 9:16. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Woe is me. If I preach not the gospel. There is a whatever you want to call it inside. But I get excited even if I'm sitting looking out there, and there are people around me who are absorbing the Word of God and getting, and you can tell it's registering. It's finding a place inside of them. It's meaning something to them. I get excited about that. It doesn't have to come from me. I don't care who it comes from as long as the truth and people are responding to it. That makes me excited. And also finding things that maybe you didn't know were there and all of a sudden you find it or you've been struggling with something and all of a sudden a verse comes and you see it. Oh, wow. That's great. Then, of course, there's the other aspect that keeps us out of trouble, by the way, in verse 15. I will meditate on thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. The idea, first of all, in the first part of the verse, meditate. It doesn't mean to go over in a corner, stand on your head and go, that's you hear all these people talk about meditation. Well, let me tell you what the world's philosophy is in meditation. It is a religious act. What they do is they have a mantra that they repeat over and over again until their mind is totally blank. Now, I got news for you. Don't ever let your mind go blank. We have enough trouble as it is when our mind goes blank when we're trying to think about something. Your name is, that happens. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that you're totally spaced out and your mind is completely free. You've just opened yourself up to some very dangerous things. That's part of Hinduism. It's also part of the New Age movement that's been going on for years. And it comes in under the disguise of Christianity. But it's not. To meditate simply means to mull it over in your mind. To think it over. And I've told you this before. It's the idea of sheep. You know what sheep do? They eat. And they goes down into one stomach. And then it comes back up again to chew some more, chewing the cud. And interesting, any sticks and stones and anything else that they may have ingested comes up with it. And it spit it out. So that just the good stuff is still there. They chew it. They swallow it. Goes in the second stomach. And up it comes. Chew it again. Goes down to the next stomach. Chew on it. And that's part of the digestive system is to chew. And spiritually speaking, to meditate means to chew on something in your mind. Over, over, and over again. Think on it. Run it through your mind. You know what happens when you do that? Every situation you find that you find yourself in, you will find spiritual application from the Word of God because you've chewed on it. You've thought it through. And it's always going to be fresh in your mind. I don't know how to explain it to you, but there are times when I get up to speak, I haven't got a clue. I mean, this morning for Sunday school, I took a detour. It wasn't planned. I had my notes and everything else. And as I told the group, well, I've left my notes. Why? Because all this stuff that's been going through my mind for maybe the last 50 years, all of a sudden, they start coming out. And it's kind of like, wow, where'd that come from? Because you meditate, you chewed on it. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 4:8, it says, think on these things. And all the things it tells you to think on are associated with the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in Psalms 119, you've got verses 48, 78, 97, and 148. All these verses relate back to thinking, or meditating, and mulling this over in your mind. And then, of course, have respect for it. I remember a Bible teacher at camp. I guess, I don't know what I was thinking. I came walking in, I had my Bible in the hand, and I just tossed it on the table like this, boom. And this older lady who, And she wasn't that much older, but she wasn't somebody you wanted to argue with. She says, Ernest? Usually called me Ernie, but this time she said, Ernest? And I got, uh-oh, what did I do wrong? She said, that was God's word that you just tossed on the table like that. Have some respect for it. Show respect. And, you know, I kind of said, well, it's just a book with words in it. But it is. It's God's words that are in that book. So I realized that if I handle my Bible like a piece of trash or as any other book, that to those who I'm trying to reach will see it as having no respect or regard for that book and what it contains. And again, it also has the idea of not only respect or have regard, but has the idea of scan, to look intently at, to have regard with pleasure. And you can find it also in verse, go back to verse 6, and you can go find it in verse 117. Then we find in the first part of verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. The word delight has the idea of being well pleased or satisfied. Are you satisfied with the Word of God? Does it meet your need? We find it again in verse 24, 35, 47, 70, 77, 92, and then also in chapter 40, verse 8. We need to be pleased and satisfied. Just like when Jesus was met by his disciples after he got done talking with the woman at the well, they said, hey, you need to eat. And he said, I've already had my food. What did he do? He spoke with the woman at the well. Being the living word, he shared the word. And she ran back and said, is this not the Messiah? Delight yourself in the word. Be excited about it. Be happy about it. Be pleased. Oh, we got to read the Bible again. Oh, we got a chapel service. Oh, dear. Yeah, sitting in chapel service in college and I'm watching the kids pass. I'm the old man and they're passing notes back and forth in front of me. And I couldn't help but read one of the notes as it was passed to me to pass it to somebody else while chapel's going on. And I'm looking at it and it says, I can't wait till I get out of this place. Then I can do my thing, my way to serve God. And nobody can tell me what to do. Whoa. That certainly was a lack of delight. As a matter of fact, I think that we're trying to put out delight. And I won't go any further with that one, or I get in trouble. And then, of course, the latter part of verse 16, I will not forget thy word. We can find that also in Psalms 119, verses 83, 93, 109, 141, and 176. And the idea of don't forget has the idea of mislay, oblivious of want of memory. Now my mother, I just talked to my mother about an hour ago, and she was upset because she couldn't remember how old she was. She said, I know I'm 94, but I couldn't say it. All of a sudden my mind went blank and I couldn't talk. Well, my mother couldn't help that. But there are a lot of things that I've seen happen over the years where people, oh, they learn things, or you think they must have put their brain in park because all of a sudden they can't recall what they've learned concerning the Bible. They've been so preoccupied with the things of this world that the Word of God just sort of... And here's what James has to say about this. James 1:22-25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be hearers of the word, and not doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, or in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So that's also pointing out, James points out, that you'll also be blessed if you're not a forgetful hearer. You know, we spend a lot of time probably in the mirror looking at the person that we're shaving or the person who's doing our hair, you know, like this, and you're looking in that mirror. And it's like the guy that goes in the mirror and his hair is all curled up in a mess and whatever, and he looks like a mess. He sees himself and he walks away and doesn't do anything about it. That's more of a man thing than a woman thing, I think. But that's something to think about. When you look into the Word of God, do you forget what you see? Do you forget its application? I mean, after all, the roadmap of life lays this out this way. The purpose, moral purity and right path. Its proposition, you're to heed it, seek it, hide it, learn it, declare it, rejoice in it, meditate in it, respect it, delight in it, and don't forget it. And God will bless you. Amen? Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We pray that we would indeed heed your word and apply it to our lives, that we might be profitable to you and bring glory and honor to your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.